that Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, and they just disagree on how.
We're going to get across that wasteland, and we're going to do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for craveable, hand-battered, cooked-to-order chicken fingers.
Chicken up.
Crispy, crinkle-cut fries.
Hot potato coming through.
Buttery Texas toast.
Toast walking.
And secret Cane's sauce.
Topping off now.
Turbocharge your chicken fingers and get them even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app.
Go, go, go!
Raising Cane's chicken fingers. One love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
Welcome back to the Lolly Carter NFL Draft Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with my friend and co-host, Dale Lolly. Dale, we got an exciting show today. We're getting closer and closer. We're less than 3 weeks away from the start of the NFL Draft. And man, it continues to heat up trade talk and what everyone's going to do. Even more people are putting out their mock drafts. I think you got your sixth up going up today, actually, on Saturday.
Yeah, and you know, it's that we're just 3 weeks out, actually less than 3 weeks out, so why not? And you know, it's that time of year, and you got to keep on top of this stuff.
Absolutely, you definitely do, because this is the nitty gritty time. This is when everyone wants to talk about it. But Dale, you got to talk to Lance Zierlein. There are some interesting things that he had perspective on for what the Steelers should do with the 24th overall pick. You know, we got people talking about, you know, trading up, trading down, staying where they are, getting a running back, getting a center, all these other things. When you had your conversation with Lance, how did that go?
You know, I asked him flat out. I said, hey, put your Steelers GM hat on, and what player would you be looking at number 24? And he said, look, I would probably take one of the top four linebackers and go with that, because, you know, that's where the value is at 24. Obviously there's some need there for the Steelers, and those top four linebackers are Micah Parsons. Then you're looking at Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. Mm-hmm. Then you're looking at, you know, Jamin Davis and Zaven Collins. And to me, of that group, the only one that I might not be interested in is Owusu-Koramoah,
right?
Because you'd be awfully undersized at the inside linebacker position if you go that route, because you've already got Devin Bush, you know, who's a 5'10", 230, you know, 5-pound linebacker. Koramoah comes in around 220. At least that's what he was at his pro day. I'm guessing, at least from what I've heard, he played lighter than that at Notre Dame last year. You'd be awfully light at the inside linebacker position. You'd be really fast, but you'd also be really light.
And that could be a major weakness. Also, I'm pretty sure all of Pittsburgh just collectively groaned like, oh, another linebacker. But Dale, picking a linebacker is not a bad thing. Having two guys in the middle of your defense that can line up next to each other, stuff the run, and cover the pass, it does a lot. I mean, heck, we saw it with the Buccaneers with Devin White and Lavonte David. The assets that it brings to your defense to know, hey, you know what? I don't have to spend Terrell Edmonds and Minka Fitzpatrick going down to help these guys, because they've got both, if the other team runs the ball or if the other team passes the ball or calls play action, they've got it handled. And, you know, you made some interesting guys here. Jamin Davis has skyrocketed up everyone's boards because he tested extremely well at his pro day. And people are starting to say, okay, yeah, that guy has the size, the strength, and the speed to play at the high level. But Zaven Collins is one. You've mocked him to the Steelers before. I've done it in like other mock drafts where I'm just experimenting. I like the idea of putting him next to Devin Bush and using their strengths together on defense.
Yeah, I think what you want to do with that position is, you know, you'd like to have somebody that you know, molds well with what you already have in Bush. And with Bush, you've got a speedy coverage guy. Davis can cover, as can Zaven Collins, and they both give you more size. You know, same thing with Parsons. So you get, you know, I look at this. Let's say, for example, the Bengals take Kyle Pitts with the number 5 pick. Well, Kyle Pitts is going to be a matchup problem for you.
Yes.
And a lot of big tight ends are going to be that kind of matchup problem for you. Well, if you go get a guy like a Jamin Davis who, you know, can run with Pitts, and he's, also 6'4", that covers that up a little bit better. And so that makes a lot of sense to me.
I think it makes a lot of sense too. You'd cover a need. And here's the other thing. Again, we're talking about trying to plug holes on defense. You know, some people think it's as simple as getting another slot cornerback to take Mike Hilton's plate or getting another guy. It's not just about that. It's reallocating your resources and building strengths up where you didn't have strength before. And Vince Williams, as much as he was beloved by Steeler Nation, as many fun plays as he was a part of, and people liked his personality, he wasn't the do-it-all linebacker. He was really good at playing downhill, going after the quarterback, taking on blockers. But when you put him in coverage, he can make plays occasionally, but that's where he was susceptible to getting picked on by other teams, and it puts you at a liability. Getting one of these guys certainly helps with that. I wanted to ask your opinion on this, Dale. I've heard people talk about Micah Parsons' red flags because he's gotten into fights. He's had some things here. He opted out on the season. And some people don't like, think moments in his collegiate career.
Yeah, and Lance talked about that too. And the off-the-field stuff really stems from the hazing incident at Penn State. Yeah. That's really what teams are concerned about with him. And Lance is pretty locked in. He talks to a lot of different teams, scouts, guys coaches will call him from around the league. Because obviously his dad was a longtime coach in the league, including for the Steelers.
Right.
So he gets, they'll call and ask him some stuff. And that's the concern with Parsons is the hazing incident that happened at Penn State. Is this something that's going to be an issue for him? Is this something that's going to, when he's drafted, people are going to write about this, and how bad was it? We don't know. That's the big thing here. So, obviously a fabulous football player. And at some point I'm sure somebody will take him in the first round. It's, he did say, he asked his dad how the character stuff works within the Steelers draft room. And he said, the Rooneys are brought in and the coaching staff and the scouts are asked, okay, what's the character issue? And then the Rooneys will say, okay, we can live with that, or no, we can't touch that. And if they say that they can't touch it, it doesn't mean they just can't touch him in that round. He's off the board.
Completely.
Completely.
Wow.
Like we wouldn't take him in the fourth round because of this character concern, or, we wouldn't take him in the first round because of this character concern, but in the fourth round, yeah, we'll take that guy. Doesn't work that way.
It makes sense. I remember when Tyrann Mathieu was in that situation, and he was even around, I think, in like with a compensatory draft or whatever the secondary draft is. And he was a guy that, people were saying, a lot of people in the NFL were saying, go get this guy. People were a little edgy about. Where do you think Micah Parsons falls because of that? Does he fall to 24? And does he?
No, okay. I don't think he falls that far. And I don't know what the hazing situation was. Mm-hmm. But it was bad enough that a player transferred out of there.
Right.
I also know that he punched, there was rumor or there's report that he punched a teammate. Mm-hmm. That these are things that are going to have to be vetted. And this year, more than any other year, you're not going to have as much information on a lot of this stuff. I mean, Micah Parsons opted out last season. So who are you asking about him? Are you going to the Penn State coaching staff and saying, okay, what's this guy like? Well, I don't know. We haven't been around him in the last year and a half. You know what I mean? So it's a little bit different. In a lot of those situations, maybe you wouldn't even talk to the coaching staff. Maybe you're talking to the training staff, or you're talking to the janitor, whoever, what's this guy treat people like? Those kind of things.
I agree. Those are things to put into consideration. And like you said, because you want to draft for character as well as talent, because then you end up getting a guy who's off your roster pretty quickly because they made dumb decisions. I believe it was Isaiah Wilson is the tackle.
He's out of the NFL.
Yeah, he's out of the NFL.
First round pick last year.
And he was given a second chance this free agency, and he just didn't show up at his thing. Like, imagine – imagine being the Steelers, like, right, like, people would be lighting pitchforks and torches. Well, I guess you wouldn't light a pitchfork, but they'd be lighting torches and bringing pitchforks to the Steelers office saying, you lost the first round pick in 1 year, 1 year. And see, that's where I always tell people to pump the brakes. You know, I wrote a draft piece and someone was saying, like, the Steelers, what about Jarvis Jones and Artie Burns? Like, those picks were literally 5 and 8 years ago, and people still bring them up as if the Steelers haven't drafted Terrell Edmonds and TJ Watt and Chase Claypool and all these other guys in the earlier rounds. I don't know the last time that you've even seen something like that from the Steelers organization. And that's because they take character into account.
Yeah. And those guys were not bad character guys. You know, they exactly. were solid citizens. They just didn't work out as players. You know, it happens to every team. You can look in every team drafts over the last, you know, however many years, however many years you want to pick, there are misses on every team's docket.
Absolutely. Hey, that's the reason I didn't make it to the NFL, Dale. I was a bad character guy. No one wanted me because they were like, he's a great athlete, but we can't have him on our team.
I do have doubts about that. You were a bad character guy and a bad athlete. The double whammy.
It's like there's two X's on your profile, sir. We're going to keep talking about the draft and more from Dale's talk with Lance Sterling. We're going to take a quick break and talk to our sponsors right after this. Back here on the Lolly Carter NFL Draft Podcast here on DK Sports Radio. I'm Chris Carter. He's Dale Lolly. Now, Dale, I want to get your sense from your talk with Lance about the Steelers running back situation, because you and I have been talking about which running back they're going to get. You know, I wrote a lot this past week on Carter's Classroom and other things about who the top running backs are and why it's important to get one of them. What was Lance's read on that?
Yeah, his exact quote, it was, he said, "You've got slow guys. they have too many slow guys, and I wasn't that big on the guy they got last year from Maryland. These three guys, being Najee Harris, ATN, and Javonte Williams, are studs." That's mm-hmm. who he's talking about. All three of the ones we talked about, and it's a big drop off to number four.
Yeah,
which is what we've been saying all along. Like, if you don't get one of those top three guys, you are not getting an every down running back.
You're essentially doing what you did the last 4 years.
You're just adding another. You're just throwing more right. slop against the wall and hoping that it works out.
Yeah, and it's just I get trying that while you were doing other things, but it's like, all right, you've tried that 4 times now, and it just hasn't stuck. It's time to make the investment.
I mean, James Conner has been a good running back.
Yeah,
he made a Pro Bowl. He just can't stay healthy.
He can't, and I think that's the biggest thing, is that you can't rely on a guy who hasn't played a full season. Even when he's had good seasons, even years when he wasn't a Pro Bowl, he'd be on a roll and then he'd get hurt. And then you'd be like, well, so much for that. We got to start Jameis. I mean, I was looking over games that BJ Finney started, and I completely forgot about one of the games last year, 2019, when the Steelers started Jalen Samuels and then had to go to Trey Edmonds because of how beat up they were at running back. You know, that's, you know, you want to be in a situation when you have a guy that can take over a game, and they haven't had that at the running back position in a very long time. Well, not a very long time, since really Le'Veon Bell, but that's where I agree with Lance's assessment, because it's what I've been saying for a long time too. You need one of those top three dudes. They're the surefire. You get any one of those guys, you put them in a decent offense like the Steelers had, you know, in other places, I think that they flourish, and they flourish quickly in this offense.
Yeah, and you know, look, he said, Najee Harris, ATN, and Javonte Williams can make the Steelers' running game so much better. I don't care who's up front.
Yeah,
it's the same thing that I heard from Greg Cosell when I talked to him a couple of weeks ago. The running back makes the running game, and it's a much easier fix. Everybody who's saying, "Well, you got to fix the offensive line first," this isn't 1970.
Right.
Okay. A great running back, a dynamic running back, makes you a better team, period. Can they upgrade the offensive line? Absolutely. And I'm not saying that they can't do that, but that's not a one-year thing. That's not a one-year fix.
Right.
You can be average at running back or on your offensive line. You can be average, league average, and win the Super Bowl. The Steelers have done it.
Yep.
You can be below league. That 2008 offensive line was not a good one.
Yeah, they were way below average that year.
And yet they won the Super Bowl because they could run the football, and they had a dynamic quarterback and a great defense.
Yep.
Well, you know, I mean, if you you look at again, people are raving about the Tampa Bay offensive line. That's not a great offensive line.
Yeah.
The Chiefs offensive line is not a great offensive line. Now we're talking about the last two Super Bowl winners.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody said before those two seasons started, yeah, well, you know, the Chiefs have top 10 offensive line or Tampa Bay has a top 10 offensive line. No, these were just guys, but the running backs made them better. Or the quarterback made them better. In this situation, a great running back gives you a running game. Mm-hmm. The Minnesota Vikings have a sloppy off. It's just a pig slop offensive line. But they have got a great
Dalvin Cook.
They've got Dalvin Cook, who's a dynamic runner, makes him a better offensive line.
Now, it was funny. I was just doing these numbers for my BJ Finney piece where he was talking about, you know, rebounding. And I was showing like, hey, the numbers actually were pretty good even when BJ Finney was part of the Steelers offense. But one thing I noted was in the, you know, with BJ Finney at center, the Steelers averaged 125.2 rushing yards per game. But when you broke down of the games that Le'Veon Bell started, they averaged 172 rushing yards per game versus 96 yards per game without him starting. Again, a lot of people wanted to say, oh, Le'Veon Bell was just good because of the Steelers offensive line. That wasn't the case. He was a playmaker out the backfield. And that's what we keep saying is if you get a Najee Harris, the way that he makes people miss, the way that he can keep a play going and move the pile, when you get a Travis Etienne who does that and also hits you, that gives you that home run speed, or Javonte Williams, who's a bowling ball and goes right through people, and you know, people compare him to Nick Chubb, those type of players make offenses.
Yeah, you know, it's all about the players and the playmakers. And I don't care, you know, again, to Lance's point, you've got slow guys in Pittsburgh. You got slow guys. That's what you got. That's who the Steelers have drafted. And maybe those guys, maybe you like that big power back, but they are slow.
Right.
You know, they're just not NFL caliber running backs. I'm sorry, they're not. All the Benny Snell lovers out there, if there are any left, I'm sorry. He's not a premier. He's not a feature running back in the NFL. I know that you know, Jalen Samuels is. You can't learn to play the running back position at the NFL level.
No,
and that's what he's trying to do here. He's just not a running back. So, if I'm the Steelers, I have to get one of those top three running backs, and I don't care how you do it. If it has to be in the first round, it's got to be in the first round. Ideally, you'd like to trade back.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe that doesn't materialize, you know, in the course of this, you know, or if you do happen to take one of those linebackers, as we talked about in the previous segment at 24, then you better be prepared to trade up in the second round to make sure that you get one of those running backs.
Yeah. Cause it's very possible, you know, that they'll all be gone by 55. When you look at some of the teams that need running backs this year, I mean, heck, you know, there's talk that Steelers might not be able to get Najee Harris in the first round, if Miami or someone takes him, you know, before the 24th pick comes up, and then you come back around to 55, people are going to be looking at, okay, I can use ATN as a fast back. I can use Javonte Williams as my feature back. You know, you get to 55, and then you're sitting there. Okay, do we go with Michael Carter?
Then you don't have one,
right?
You don't have one,
and then you're just SOL, and you can't afford that anymore, especially with the way this offense is built. Right now, I agree with you. Even if BJ Finney is your starter at center and everyone on this offensive line is the same going to next year's draft, you give them a real one of these top three running backs, they're able to run the ball. They won't be top 10 in the league, but they'll be at least to the middle of the league, which if you give, like, say you give last year's Steelers passing offense a decent run game, they're so much better because Ben Roethlisberger doesn't have to rely on so many dinks and dunks to win on third and one.
And here's the thing. I keep hearing this argument, and it is a false one.
Okay.
That Ben Roethlisberger will not run the football. This is all on Ben. Here's the thing. 2 years or 3 years ago when he had Le'Veon Bell, they ran the hell out of the ball. They haven't run the ball since. In the 2 years that Roethlisberger's been the starting quarterback, the two full years, they haven't run the ball much. Why do you think that is? Because he doesn't trust the running backs.
Right.
Because they stink. It's a better option for him to throw the football. When they had Le'Veon Bell, look at the second half of the 2016 season.
Yeah.
They ran the hell out of the ball.
They was choo-choo. I mean, they was just giving it to him.
Averaging 30 touches a game out of the backfield.
Mm-hmm. In quite a few of those B.J. Finney games I was talking about where Le'Veon was going off, it was because Le'Veon – I mean, 240 yards against the Bills. My goodness. You know, over 200 yards against the Chiefs in the playoffs. Ben is happy handing the ball off if he knows he's got a playmaker.
If he trusts the back. You got to trust the back.
Right. And you can't trust a back. Whereas, again, James Conner – fine teammate, fine running back, but not a dynamic playmaker. You know, it's how the offense works. It's why, when people say, why is Ben forcing it to Antonio Brown? Because it's Antonio Brown. It's the same thing with the running back position. When you know you got a superstar, you're going to feed the superstar, and you're not going to try and just force it away from him just because, oh, we don't want to. No, you get him the ball, and that's a big reason why the Steelers need that back. So, again, I agree with Lance Erlein. I mean, that guy's smart.
Yeah, he knows what he's talking about.
He knows what he's talking about because he agrees with me. That's how that works. but Dale, thanks for taking the time to be on the show, of course, as always. Thanks for you for listening. Hey, Dale's got his piece on what Lance Erlein said exactly. Read more about that on dkpittsburghsports.com as well as all of our NFL draft content. We've been cranking it out all week long, and we'll continue until draft day, which is less than 3 weeks away. From Chris Carter and Dale Lolly, thanks for listening to DK Sports Radio and the Lolly Carter NFL Draft Podcast. Remember, rate us 5 stars, leave us a positive comment. Those things really help out our network. And stay tuned. We got a lot more on DK Sports Radio coming up.